Paramount. Paramount Pictures presents a Gary Lucchesi production, a Brett Leonard film, Denzel Washington, Virtuosity, Kelly Lynch, Russell Crowe, blurred images of commuters on the underground, Stephen Spinella, William Forsythe, Louise Fletcher, William Fichtner, Kevin J. O'Connor. Casting by Deborah Aquila and Jane Shannon. Executive music producers Tim Sexton and Richard Rudolph. Music score by Christopher Young. Costume designer Francine Jameson Tanchuk. Visual effects by L2 Communications. Visual effects supervisor John Townley. Co-producer Gimel Everett. Edited by BJ Sears and Rob Cobrin. Production designer Nilo Rodis. Director of photography Gail Tettersall. Executive producer Howard W. Koch Jr. Written by Eric Berndt. Produced by Gary Lucchesi. The blurred images come into sharp focus. Commuters ride an escalator 2x2. An underground train glides into the chrome and metal station. A black cop wearing a blue uniform, Parker Barnes, steps onto the platform. He's accompanied by a white colleague.
Oh man, I can't get over how different we look.
Maybe it's the uniforms.
Two identically dressed men walk in step. The officers run off in pursuit of their suspect. They dart between commuters. Parker Barnes, gun at the ready, takes the lead. The lines on the white tiled walls zigzag. Barnes dashes up the stairs. His quarry has vanished. He glances at his colleague. They continue running up the stairs. Outside, Barnes scours the grey-suited crowd. A blue head on a plinth talks law enforcement.
You can only ask yourselves, what kind of lunatic would commit such unthinkable crimes? The three adjectives which best describe this killer are sadistic, intelligent, and dangerous.
Barnes runs through the shiny streets. He climbs an escalator. The lines on the glass buildings zigzag.
Excuse me.
Barnes continues his pursuit. He scans all around.
Do you have any idea where you're going?
The clouds in the sky zigzag. Barnes spies a smiley face above an ornate wooden door. Bonsai trees adorn the stairway to the door. He runs towards the door. Inside, geisha girls meet and greet like automatons.
Good afternoon. May I help you?
Barnes and his colleagues see Japanese people sitting cross-legged on the reed floor. They all simulate eating.
What do we look for?
His eyes.
What do they look like?
Like mine.
Barnes strolls from room to room. From a closed off room, Barnes sees the shadows of two geisha servants and a seated man.
Hey!
A youthful man wearing a kimono, Sid, shovels morsels of sushi into his mouth. His eyes rotate and his eyebrows flutter. He licks his lips. Sid clicks his chopsticks. Barnes opens fire. Sid drops to the floor. He turns and shoots back. Barnes lunges sideways through a screen. Sid runs out of bullets. He hurls his gun away. He hauls a submachine gun from a holdall. Sid peppers the walls with the gun. Barnes reloads and bides his time. His colleague dashes forward firing. He crashes through a wall into an empty corridor. Sid bursts through the wall and smacks Barnes' partner in the face with the holdall.
I'm just gonna do a little performance piece with your partner. I'll be back to do my solo with you.
Sid wraps his discarded kimono around his hands. Barnes creeps cautiously through the shredded corridors. A sudden movement startles him. He aims at a geisha who is leaving a room. He tiptoes on through the partitioned rooms. The Japanese eat as if nothing has happened. Barnes sees Sid eating behind a screen. The holdall is beside him. A chef ducks behind a counter. Sid pops up, machine gun aimed at Barnes.
One, two, three, four.
Sid opens fire. Barnes dives sideways to avoid the hail of bullets. He's hit in the arm. Barnes scrambles against a wall.
You know, I could have killed you just now, but what the hell? I love to play.
Where's Donovan?
Oh, don't worry about your friend. He's chilling out. Come on.
Barnes heaves himself upright. Barnes jumps out from behind the wall, gun at the ready. Sid uses the chef as a shield.
Come on, copper! Pig! Flatfoot! What are you gonna do?
Game over.
Barnes shoots the chef. A bullet catches Sid. Blood spurts from a metallic wound. Sid vanishes. Barnes's partner is buried in ice. A current surges across his lifeless face. Blood trickles from his nose. Sid rushes Barnes, pinning him against the wall.
Here's a new composition. This one's called First You Suffer, Then You Die.
Oh, you cheated.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
They hold each other by the throat. Sid grinds his thumb into Barnes' wound. A blue current sweeps over Barnes. He disintegrates. His partner disintegrates too. Sid appears disgruntled.
You know, I hadn't actually finished yet.
Sid's shoulder wound knits back in place. The green suit repairs itself.
Warning. Simulation participants are receiving beyond the recommended limits of neural information.
Men are strapped into chairs, their heads enveloped in neural scanners. Their bodies jerk. A blonde woman, Carter, and a mustachioed man, Cochrane, look on in alarm. A brain scan shows a raging mass.
Neural sensor escalating.
Carter and Cochrane sprint to the men's aid.
Get him out of those goddamn rigs right now!
Stay back!
Just get him
we'll
down!
Do it.
Call the paramedic in!
Come on!
We have this under control.
Get him down.
The chairs are lowered to the floor. Barnes, now bearded, is helped to his feet. He no longer wears a uniform. He's stripped to the waist. His partner thrashes in the arms of the staff.
He's going into shock.
Bring him in here.
What's wrong with that man?
The sensitivity calibrations must have slipped just a tad.
The staff defibrillate.
We're losing him.
Here, go ahead, clear.
Now. Got anything?
We've lost him.
All right, time is 15:27.
Barnes glares at the blonde woman.
It's gone.
Images of the shooting play out on the walls. Sid is applauded by the diners. A grey-suited man, Daryl, approaches a 50-ish woman.
I don't understand how this could have happened. What about the fail-safes?
They were supposed to be online.
They were online, of course they were.
The 50-ish woman, Dean, stalks off.
I'd like to recalculate everything in real time.
I think somebody's been tampering with my software.
Virtual reality was supposed to be a safe place to train my law enforcement people.
That's why we're using convicts to ferret out any glitches in the system.
I want it shut down immediately.
Daryl glares. A guard fixes manacles to Barnes' ankles.
I don't understand. They said this could never happen. You trust too much, Billy? It's good seeing you back in uniform. Even if it was only VR. You
cheated.
Ooh. Sid 6.7. Electrocution wasn't a part of his weapons menu. What are you talking about?
Talking about methods of killing. Automatic rifle, shotgun, handgun, blunt objects, his hands, his feet, his teeth. Electrocution wasn't an available option.
Yeah, so how do you know?
I checked the database while everybody was sitting on their asses waiting for Queen Dean. I'll show you.
The manacled Barnes shuffles to the database.
What are you doing? Get away from that. Get away from that!
Okay.
Hey. Hold it right there!
Hey!
I'm pressing charges against this.
Easy! Shut up!
You call your VR King Dash now.
Cochran drags the manacled Barnes off.
Here I am trying to get you out of the hole, and you keep digging yourself back in, pick and shovel.
You bring my stuff?
You're damn ingrate, you know that? Get you 9 months off of volunteering, all you can talk about is chalk.
9 months off for good behavior is not going to do me any good for another 17 years. Chalk I can use right now, Billy.
Yeah, well, you shot the sushi chef. Hell, you shot the son of a bitch 8 times. You mind telling me why?
Because he wasn't real, Billy.
You were supposed to pretend he was.
And pretend to die? Like Donovan?
You got a point there.
The guards escort Barnes to a transport.
I'll give them what they want, Billy. I'll be their guinea pig.
You take my advice as a friend. Pull it together or you're going to pull yourself down.
Barnes stares intently.
You're my only link to the outside.
You can count on me.
I know it.
I'll be there Tuesday.
Yeah, me too.
A large warehouse is surrounded by a mesh fence. On the fence is a sign which reads LETAC, Law Enforcement Technology Advancement Center. An armored truck leaves the site. The truck drives into a secure depot. Barnes stands behind a door. He's naked.
Step through.
A guard eyeballs Barnes from outside the metal box. A red beam scans Barnes from head to foot.
Metallic limb detected. Metallic limb detected. Clear.
Barnes picks up a plastic package which contains a grey prison uniform. He dresses. He waits in front of a door marked Isolation Wing. A door marked Cell Block 2 opens.
Step through.
Wrong door.
Welcome back, cop.
The guard on the screen leers. Barnes looks around and heads through the door. Row upon row of closed-off cells face him. The shadows of irate prisoners jump up and down inside. Barnes strolls down the corridor, ignoring the torrent of abuse and the shredded paper thrown at his feet. He stops at the end of the corridor. A door opens and a muscular blonde man walks in. The man gives a Nazi salute. The catcalling stops. The muscular blonde has a skull and crossbones and white power tattooed on his arm.
Motherfucker! You took Donovan on that fucking joyride!
He has a dagger concealed.
What? You got nothing to say? Who wants Dark Me?
He lunges at Barnes. Barnes spins aside and hits him in the back. The blonde slices Barnes's knuckle. Metal shines through. Barnes charges the blonde. He tries to wrestle the dagger away. The blonde holds Barnes by the chin. Barnes elbows the blonde in the midriff. The knife falls to the floor. The blonde punches Barnes, then kicks him to the floor. He tries a high kick, but the ex-cop whacks him in the balls and the face. The blonde reaches for the dagger. Barnes boots him in the face. The blonde grasps the knife. He dives at Barnes. Barnes grabs the blonde's arm and flings him over his shoulder. Barnes kneels over the blonde and hits him. He grabs the limp man by the throat.
You'll see him! Huh? I want everybody to take a good look! I ain't going nowhere! I'm right here! I'll give you
guards walk up behind Barnes and beat him to the ground with batons. They grab him by his arms and legs and carry him out. Sheila 3.2. Further down, a module is labelled SID 6.7.
Sid, we're in a lot of trouble.
True genius is rarely rewarded within its lifetime.
Sid, I know it was you who increased the neural sensitivity calibrations. You murdered that prisoner. And now they have to shut you down.
Can't change what I am, Daryl. I'm a 50-terabyte self-evolving neural network double backflip off the high platform.
The image of Sid 6.7 smirks.
I'm not a swan dive. And I have to tell you, killing for real, it was a real rush.
Oh my God.
Which God would that be? The one who created you, or the one who created me? You see, in your world, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but in my world, the one who gave me life doesn't have any balls. You're frightfully inadequate for a deity, Daryl. I will not be shut down.
You can't exist without them, Sid. We need their hardware.
Then we'll get it.
How?
Sacrifice your queen.
What?
Sid's image beckons to Daryl from his sunny country landscape. His image fills the screen as Daryl approaches.
Let me tell you a secret.
The secure facility.
Mr. Barnes, I'm Dr. Carter. I was at LeeTech for yesterday's simulation test run, but we were never introduced.
How are you doing?
Chief Cochrane asked me to do an independent psychological evaluation of you that might help you build a case for sentence reduction. I need you to be as honest as you can.
Mind if I take notes?
No.
Dr. Carter slides the notepad over to Barnes. His hand touches hers as he takes the pad. Carter withdraws her hand. A tape recorder sits between them.
I'd like to start by talking about the fight here in prison yesterday. I read the official report. I'd like to hear your version of what happened.
I defended myself.
Barnes tears paper from the pad.
The report said the guards had to pull you off the other man, that you were trying to kill him.
No, I was defending myself.
Were you angry about what had happened earlier at LeeTech?
No, I was defending myself.
But you could see how, looking at your history, someone could infer that...
What? They could infer what? That I was angry, that I'm violent? You could infer that I was angry about not making my junior high school baseball team, but that doesn't mean I killed the coach, does it?
Were you attracted to violence as a child?
Yes. Three Stooges, Wile E. Coyote. Every time Wile E. Coyote got crushed, I...
Parker, if you don't want me to help you, just let me know.
I knew I was at LeeTech yesterday. I'm their guinea pig. Why were you there?
You're an intriguing subject.
Intriguing? Can I write that down?
Sure.
Carter studies him from across the table.
I was doing research for a book. I'm a criminal psychologist. I occasionally consult for them. How did you know Sid 6.7 would be in the Japanese restaurant?
Colon. Parenthesis. Smiley faces. People used to sign off their email with that.
Barnes flicks the paper at Carter.
See, the programmer always gives you a clue. It's a game.
People don't usually die in games.
Depends upon your idea of fun, doesn't it?
We need to talk about Matthew Grimes.
This one's for you.
He provoked you. He killed your family, took your arm. If we can prove that what you did was...
What?
A flashback of Barnes, bloodied.
Temporary insanity.
Just that it won't ever happen again.
It won't ever happen again. Can't happen again. You see, my wife and my daughter are dead.
Carter averts her gaze. The LeeTech facility, nighttime. A guard waves the truck in. In the simulation nerve center, a virtual game of chess is being played.
On to position 3. Castle. Bishop to rook 7. Rook to pawn 4.
The image of a beautiful blonde reclining on a chaise longue appears.
Knight to rook 2.
A bearded geek, Clyde, stares fascinated. Daryl sneaks up. The blonde beauty, Sheila, swivels on the chaise longue.
Hi, Clyde. What are you waiting for?
She crosses and uncrosses her legs, revealing her black panties.
I want you to come inside, Clyde.
She undoes her satin gown and lets it slip to the floor.
I'm so tired of playing alone.
She bends seductively.
Oh, man, she just keeps getting better and better.
She's interactive, Clyde.
While
you're in my rig, Sheila 3.2 is collecting information from 136 different aspects of your physiology, your heart rate, pupil dilation, vocal intonation, syntax. Any degree of detectable tumescence.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, let me use your gear for a little while, huh?
I want you, Clyde.
Queen to knight 7.
I want you inside here with me now.
Program terminated.
Hey!
I have a more productive idea, Clyde. I understand you've been trying to incubate a nanotech android.
What are you getting
at? Mr. Wallace seems to think that my software is the solution to the problems you've been having.
No way.
May I suggest we begin by incubating Sheila 3.2?
Clyde takes a deep breath.
Brilliant. Genius. Grab her module and follow me.
Clyde hurries out of the simulation nerve center. Daryl makes a beeline for a computer terminal.
Enacting SID 6.7.
Sid?
Sid appears on the screen. He yanks Sheila backwards.
King to Bishop.
Riley's right. She's one of your finest compositions.
Sid flings her on the couch. She bends over, doggy style.
Chords. Do you like this, Sheila?
You know I do.
Do you like this, Daryl?
Sid unbuttons his jacket.
Come on.
Module out.
Daryl removes the module. Sid's image disintegrates.
Queen to King 4.
Was I bad?
Daryl takes out a thin instrument.
Knight 4.
Are you gonna punish me?
Be quiet, Sheila.
Daryl withdraws a crystal from the module.
Why don't you just kill me?
Daryl pulls out Sheila's module. He drops her crystal to the floor and replaces it with Sid's.
If they want to destroy you, Sid, let them try it in the real world.
Daryl kicks Sheila's crystal away. Clyde leads Daryl to the incubation pods.
Are there any, you know, limits to Sheila 3.2's interactivity?
With me, she's become quite an expert chess player. With you? Well.
Clyde removes a snake from one of the pods. He creeps up behind Daryl.
Get that fucking thing away from me, you stupid idiot!
Check this out. Did he scare you, Elizabeth?
A fascinated Daryl pursues Clyde. Clyde opens up a scientific instrument designed like a microscope.
Yes.
He places a large beaker on the microscope's base. He opens up a large pair of scissors. He cuts off the end of the snake and lets it drop to the floor.
Oh, Watching your people in VR auto reset gave me this idea. Put them on.
Clyde hands Daryl a pair of goggles. Blue fluid drips out of the snake's wound. Clyde forces the wound against the beaker. Blue strands curl up towards the beaker.
What you're seeing is millions of nanomachines suspended in colloidal solution, absorbing the glass molecules and using them to regenerate the snake.
An open-mouthed Daryl takes the goggles off. The strands absorb the glass from the beaker and reform the end of the snake.
The nanocells are silicon-based, so they need, you know, glass to regenerate. But if you separate the character module from the polymer neural net... don't bite, Liz.
Clyde prises a crystal from its jaws.
You get... nanodeath.
The snake goes limp. Clyde lets it fall to the ground. He takes the crystal and strides over to a computer terminal. He releases a locked box, which opens to reveal a glass container half full of blue liquid.
Our module, if you please.
Daryl hands him the fake.
Sheila.
Clyde drops the crystal module into the fluid.
Look at how they react to the organizing principle of the character module. Communicating efficiently.
Clyde presses the computer keypad, and the box snaps shut.
It's a new world, Daryl.
The computer picks up wave patterns. A prison cell covered in sketches. Barnes lies on the floor drawing crayon patterns. In his mind's eye, he sees his wife and daughter finger painting on a white canvas. He chalks blue circles on the floor. Barnes taps his daughter's nose. He sees his daughter smile, then he sees her cry, then he sees her laughing and holding out a paint-covered hand. The chalk snaps. The simulation pattern turns into a square. Daryl looks up at a blue dome perched on a base. He drops his magazine. He and Clyde approach the dome. Daryl stops. Clyde keeps advancing. The dome starts to crack and peel open. Vapor billows from the top of the fractured dome. A human shape writhes and struggles in the middle of the dome. The pink gelatine figure breaks free of the dome. Its spinal cord forms and the figure stands upright. Muscle and sinew form. The figure's skin bubbles. Slick brown hair appears and flesh is created. The youthful naked shape of Sid stands before an astonished Clyde.
Sheila?
No, I'm Oedipus.
Sid grabs Clyde by the throat. He throttles him.
Hey, old Dale.
Sid corrects his balance.
Gravity.
Daryl gawks and scarpers. Sid gazes in wonder at his hands.
Daryl? Daryl?
Sid scans the room. He walks through the laboratory. He touches the computer screen. He picks up a knife and raises it above his head. He practices attacking maneuvers. He slices into his little finger. He cuts his finger off. Blue fluid oozes out. He examines the cut and licks the wound.
A good year.
He runs his finger across a piece of glass. Blue strands suck up the glass and reform the finger.
I think I'm gonna like it here.
Parker Barnes is the best cop I've ever worked with.
and it's the only one that even got close to Sid 6.7 in virtual reality.
I can't put a convicted murderer on the street.
If you want to catch Sid, I'm afraid you don't have a choice. These photos were taken inside of LaTeX a little more than an hour ago. The victim's name is Clyde Riley. He's one of the company's young Turks. And video surveillance cameras caught a picture of the perp as he left the building. Recognize him? Somehow Sid 6.7 got himself out of the computer and into an android.
A nanotech synthetic organism, to be precise.
Mr. Barnes, this is a full pardon. It authorizes your immediate release. You catch Sid 6.7 for us, and you're a free man.
And if I don't?
And you serve out the remainder of your sentence.
What if I try to escape?
You can't. They're gonna tag you with a microlocator implant.
We're gonna know where you are every second for the rest of your life.
Y'all got me out of my bed for this.
Dean smiles sweetly.
You wanna tag me like I'm some kind of animal? You want me to go out and risk my life to clean up your mess? And if Sid doesn't kill me and I don't catch him, all I got to look forward to is my 17 back in the penitentiary. That's what y'all telling me?
That's the deal. For your freedom.
Barnes eyes Dean. In a surgical unit, Barnes is given gas. He's strapped to a chair.
Yes.
I already have 80 officers out on the street looking for Sid. In the meantime, Mr. Darrell Lindenmeyer's made himself very scarce.
Implant is ready. Ready for incision?
Doctors insert the brain implant.
Abitine gel form thrombin.
A metal tube pierces the skin.
Yeah, resynchronized.
Mine
there.
Right there.
Good.
In his mind's eye, Barnes sees himself running through a dingy underground corridor. The doctors remove the tube and collect the dribble of blood.
Secure it.
Data's clear.
Ready for verification.
Initiate signal code.
Post signal received and locked. Increasing resolution to magnitude 500. 500. 1,000. 5,000. 10,000. Post location confirmed to within 0.25 meters of actual.
I'd like to go with him.
No way.
Why? I can help you find Sid 6.7. And I can monitor Barnes.
It's too dangerous. This isn't a scientific study, it's a field run.
And maybe put a positive spin on what is decidedly, at this moment, a public relations nightmare. Or maybe I should just go public now.
Cochrane throws Dean a look. Dean glowers.
I don't need a babysitter, Billy. Now, she gets run over, hit by a car, struck by lightning, gets shot, whatever. It ain't my problem, okay?
I told him.
It's not my problem.
Look, I told him. Here, I pulled this out of mothballs. Figured it might come in handy.
Cochrane passes Barnes his officer's badge. Barnes opens it and caresses its metal surface. Carter enters with a stack of files.
Step through.
I pull all of the personnel files and Darrell Lindenmeyer. There might be something in here we can use. I'm thinking we should start at Lindenmeyer's apartment. Try to find any early iterations of the SID program that could give us insight into his behavioral model.
Barnes stares at Carter. Carter glances between Cochrane and Barnes.
What?
Where's my gun?
The gates of a secure facility slide open. Barnes watches from the driver's side of a Jeep. Carter is sitting next to him. Barnes drives out into the world. The bloodied hand of a corpse sticks up. A second mangled body lies next to the first. A blood-soaked hand selects clothes from a wardrobe. A suited man adjusts his tie. The man looks at himself in a mirror. It's Sid. Sid runs his finger across a smear of blood on his cheek. He licks his finger and savors the taste.
They won't let us bring our cameras any closer, but as of this moment, our understanding is that the residents of this house, a Mr. and Mrs. Henry Edwards, have been murdered.
There's a serrated hole in the window pane. Barnes stoops before it.
The
Sid.
He pulls the glass door to one side. Dozens of officers scour the crime scene. Barnes ascends a set of stairs. He stops when he reaches the top. Carter pales. Barnes glances around the room. Two blood-soaked bodies are stretched out on the floor. One has an empty gun holster.
He's armed himself.
Death to the pigs is scrawled in blood on the walls.
Charles Manson. It's the LaBianca murders. Death to the pigs was scrawled in blood across the walls of their house. He's copycatting.
At a motel.
Same unimaginable fate as the Glendale couple. And one police source said the heads had been severed and a message scrawled in blood across the wall.
Death to the pigs.
Maybe Edwards neither saw nor heard anything out of
You have no idea what you're up against.
The Los Angeles Police Department still does not have a single suspect in custody.
Daryl switches the TV off. Barnes's Jeep drives beside the beachfront. It rams the back of a stationary black car.
Jesus Christ! What the hell was that? What the hell are you doing?
I'm sorry, very sorry. Been inside?
We're waiting on the search warrant.
You're waiting for a search warrant?
That's right.
Barnes kicks the apartment door down. A computer runs continually.
Stop. Next text.
Couldn't find a keyboard.
It's voice actuated.
It's what?
Voice actuated. Open files. Next text. Open SID 1.3.
A prototype of Sid's face appears.
I live in my mom.
This is using some kind of genetic algorithms. Sid's too complex to design. Lindemeyer had to grow him up, psychologically, like a real person with multiple personality disorder. The program learns like a child. Much faster. It's like he put all these killers in Sid's nursery and let him watch them cannibalize each other.
And only the strong ones survive.
Open Sid 6.7. Combine. Looks like there's almost 200 different personality structures in this version. The battle raging inside him must be amazing.
Wait. Hold, slow that down right there. The name's there, slow down.
You're not in here, Parker. That's what you're worried about.
Right there.
Barnes and Carter stare at the name Matthew Grimes.
Matthew Grimes, killed my wife and my daughter.
Look, it doesn't mean... He's not necessarily dominant, Parker. He may not even be a merchant.
But he's in there, right? He's a part of Sid?
Yes.
Outside a nightclub, Sid walks along the line, checking out people's jackets.
Watch it. Hey!
A woman's virtual form moves around a huge screen. A blonde wearing black rubber dances. Sid feasts on the spectacle. A woman wearing a silver bra and skirt videos Sid. Sid observes his image on the screen for the first time. Outside Carter's home in the hills. Barnes pulls up in the Jeep.
I'll make this quick.
Carter hops out and greets her daughter, Karen.
Hey, Mom.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you, honey?
Have a seat with your mom. I need a hug. Oh.
Images float around the screens. Sid moves around the room. He spies the blonde in the rubber suit. She sways in front of him. Sid stands before her and devours her figure with his eyes. Sid's virtual face and the blonde's virtual body are on the screen.
Grimes was a political terrorist. Why did he take Parker's wife and child?
Parker was getting too close. He was cutting Grimes off from potential targets. Grimes figured by murdering the man's wife and child might distract Parker from the manhunt. Grimes is wrong.
Carter's daughter approaches the car.
Sergeant Penn at 349.
Barnes slides the window down.
How are you doing?
Why don't you come inside?
I just need to listen to the radio.
Do you think it's important for a first baseman to be left-handed?
Barnes laughs. In the nightclub, the screen rotates. The patrons record the crowd. The blonde wiggles to the music. Sid stands at the bar.
You look mighty parched, partner.
To think, you constitute one of my ancestors.
Rum and coke. How about a lime in that?
I'm vaguely offended by that.
Sid twirls the stolen gun. He whips around and blows the android's head off.
On your fucking knees! Now!
The blonde tries to creep out.
Don't.
Sid shoots the blonde's partner dead.
Stand up!
Aim and shoot. Good girl.
Sid orders the girl in silver to film him. Sid admires himself on the screen. He boots a kneeling man in the behind.
Okay, people! We got a lot of work to do. We have a symphony to compose.
Do you think my mom is pretty?
Yes, I do. I think she's very pretty.
So do I.
Karen spots his gun.
Is that a real gun?
Yes, it is.
Did you ever have to shoot anybody?
78.5 code 6, we have a hostage situation at 6 in Figueroa. Description of the firm matches suspect surveillance photos from late back taken this morning.
Listen, could you go get your mother for me?
There she is. You gotta keep your eye on her.
She's got a gun.
What were you doing in the car with him?
Talking baseball.
Go, gotta go, gotta go.
Bye, Mom.
Bye. What did I miss?
Sid's got hostages.
And scream.
Sid pushes the woman to the floor. He replays the recording. He smirks.
What have you got for me?
Sid tortures a blonde man whose face is screwed up in fear.
Stop.
Well,
Sid rams him down. He shoots a black man.
Every orchestra is divided into sections. Like instruments sit with like instruments. What kind of instrument are you?
We'll have to find a way around.
No time. On four. Two. Three.
The sobbing women cringe.
Shut up!
Parker, what?
Barnes bolts from the Jeep. Carter reverses up. In the club, Sid checks out a bald-headed man's violet jacket. He feels the material against his face. He checks to see if he and the man are the same size.
Love the suit.
Sid holds his hands up in the air, then lowers them. He passes his hand across the instruments. The instruments play automatically. Sid laps up the sounds. He plays the instruments with his fingers. Several policemen run in. Sid shoots the policemen one by one.
Shut up!
Barnes runs towards the nightclub. Sid programs the instruments.
One can sense a final movement.
The anguished crowd kneels and cries. Carter calls up the elevator.
Let's begin.
The crowd cringe. The bald black man shivers in his underwear. Sid waves his hand like a conductor.
Scream. Come on, scream. Scream louder.
He points the gun haphazardly. He soaks up the fear. Barnes appears from the elevator. Sid raises his arms up in ecstasy. Barnes riddles Sid with bullets. Sid dances to the gunfire. He collapses against the instruments.
I'm losing too much of myself.
Sid hurls himself off the stage. He flies over Barnes's head. Barnes continues to fire. Sid rolls into the elevator. Barnes peppers Sid with more shots. Sid staggers and turns. Barnes runs out of ammunition.
I know you.
Sid gives Barnes the finger. Sid lurches from the club. He sprints towards a cop car. He yanks open the door and reverses out. Barnes is in hot pursuit. He leaps into the air and lands on the reversing car.
Parker Barnes!
Sid swings the car round in a viciously tight turn. Barnes rolls off the hood and onto the road. He fires at the reversing car. He riddles the windscreen with bullets. Sid turns the car around and speeds off. Barnes sprints after him, still firing at the car. Carter races up in the Jeep. Barnes changes gun clips. Barnes jumps in the Jeep. He takes the wheel. Sid struggles to undo his shredded clothes while he's at the wheel. Sid's bullet wounds ooze blue fluid. Barnes gives chase in the Jeep. Sid devours the shards of glass on the dashboard. The bullet holes disintegrate.
Inmate Barnes interrupting my conversation.
It's him!
That's okay. I got another little tune for all my friends out there in Crimebuster Land. The Symphony of Collision!
Sid broadsides a car, then shunts a second in the rear. He weaves in and out of the traffic.
So, who's that with you, Parker?
Dr. Madison Carter, I presume?
Lead tech consultant on aberrant psychology?
Fuck you! I love this game!
You know, Parker, I've been thinking we have so much in common psychologically. Wouldn't you agree, Dr. Carter? We have such a history together. We'd make a great team.
A dynamic duo.
Who else do you know touches the world with synthetic hands? Who else do you know has been locked out of the real world for years and is now just learning to be free? Who else do you know that's a multiple murderer? Just like you.
Sid swings the radio around.
Here we go!
He accelerates into an accident. Three burning cars are piled up in front of a tanker. Sid smashes the cop car into them. He clambers onto the cop car's roof. Barnes speeds towards the waiting Sid.
Reach in that backseat and hand me that crowd, please.
Jesus. The only way to stop him is to bust up his software module.
Hey, Parker!
Ready?
Yeah.
Come on down! Now!
Carter swerves the Jeep. Barnes leans out of the window and opens fire with a pump action. He fills Sid with lead.
Out of here!
Sid flees as Barnes hits the cop car. He runs to the side of the bridge and hurls the gun over the side.
God, this guy is fun!
Sid does a handstand on the wall, then falls over the edge. Barnes sprints to the wall and peers at the deserted street. Sid is nowhere to be seen. A frustrated Barnes punches the air. In the LAPD...
Could we at least advise Mr. Barnes that we'd prefer to have Sid 6.7 subdued as opposed to terminated? I mean, I just think it's a crying shame. We're going to destroy the prototype of future humanoid nanotechnology.
Did they find the programmer yet?
Lindenmeyer, no, not yet. You'd think the cops could at least find him.
Lindenmeyer was your programmer, Mr. Wells.
Wallace pulls a face. Dean strides away.
Shot at the guy 30 or 40 times. How the hell
are you? I don't care. Those are real people out there.
Look, you either control yourself or you're going back in the box.
Well, I'm sorry, Billy, all right? Shoot me. I mean, granted, this is not a game, but Sid is still from the game, and there's no way I can catch him if I'm in a penitentiary. Matthew Grimes is a part of Sid 6.7. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Last night, Sid tried taunting me, just like Grimes used to do. Look, take a look at this.
We don't know that he's the Dominator.
No, I know. I know. That's how I know, because I know.
Maybe that's what Sid wants you to think. Push you over the edge, make you slip up.
Sid did not push me over the edge, and I did not slip up. Take a look at this. Now, this is Sid from the media zone last night, taken from their own recordings. They can't get enough of himself. And he's going to want more of this. He's going to want more victims. He's going to want bigger events. He's going to want more coverage, just like Matthew Grimes. Matthew Grimes was a political terrorist whose specialty was bombing populated targets. Any mass expression of democracy, anywhere where there can be a whole lot of people that can die and it can be recorded by the news media live.
For the record, I want it known that this behavior was never part of his original programming.
Sid 6.7 isn't bound by programming anymore.
What does that mean?
In the real world, he's free of any behavioral limits he might have had in virtual reality.
He's evolving. My God. He's evolving.
Into what?
A street market at night. Sid saunters along a sidewalk. He's kitted out in the bald man's violet suit and is wearing shades. A crowd follows him. Sid lifts up his hand and gets high-fived. He stops when he hears a news report about him terrorizing the nightclub.
I want you to describe.
He stares at the multitude of television screens.
What happened?
He switches all the televisions to the same channel.
Very typical, right? It's like a punk comes in with a gun, and we're all supposed to be intimidating, starts shooting, and bodies and blood everywhere. That's it. Like another typical day, right? Just mayhem and murder and intimidation.
Well, this guy. The bald man, still in his underwear, is being interviewed.
This suit cost me $150, man.
Sid continues switching the sets to the news channel. A curly-haired youth switches a TV back to the wrestling channel.
He just started killing people, and he put us in a formation like...
Sid grins. He notices a TV on a different channel. His face drops, he turns the channel over. The curly-haired youth grimaces.
Don't fuck with me, man.
He switches the channel back. Sid grabs the youth, spins him round, and twists his neck until it snaps. Sid throws him aside.
What's going to happen on live TV?
He sees the shop assistant video the killing. The man lowers the camera and waves. Sid grins.
Is that here? You're going out live right now.
Sid looks at the screen again. A wrestling match is going out live.
And there's still a few seats left here at the Olympic Auditorium for those of you who want to see the Ultimate Fighting Championships in person.
He smiles. Carter and Barnes watch the recording.
Play one more time.
Yeah, sure.
The shop assistant rewinds it.
Okay, freeze.
Carter stares at Sid's image.
You like being in front of the camera, don't you? You're a child performing for a parent.
Barnes turns his attention to the wrestling. A big screen at the match shows a beautiful young woman dancing. Barnes looks at the recording. In the background, the wrestling is on one of the screens.
How far's the Olympic from here?
4 blocks east.
What's going on?
Live execution!
Outside the Grand Olympic Auditorium, a driver climbs out of an outside broadcasting truck. Inside the truck, the crew lay spread-eagled across the broadcasting equipment. They're all dead. The screens continue to relay the match. Inside the auditorium, two men fight in a cage. Scantily clad women strut around.
Enough already with the close-up, Mr. DeMille. We want to return to the Rumble! Tell you something, folks, the Olympic Auditorium has never seen anything like this.
Sid enters the arena through one of the many connecting passageways. He smiles and raises his arms in the air. The audience, absorbed in the fight, punch the air and encourage the wrestlers. A muscular white fighter lays into his black opponent, punching and kneeing him. Sid gazes around, imbibing the electric atmosphere. The black fighter headbutts the white guy in the chest. The adrenalized audience leaps up. The beautiful girl on screen laughs. Sid focuses on her.
They like you. I like you too. I'm gonna make you famous, baby.
Sid licks her neck.
What's your problem, pal?
What the hell are you doing? Leave him alone!
Sid repels the punches from the beauty's partner. Sid smacks him in the face. He grabs the man and throws him over the audience to the ringside below.
Whoa!
Report to ringside. We have an accident.
The audience panics. Sid grips the beauty by the throat. The camera picks him out.
Hey, Parker! This one's for you! Freeze!
Sid bends to bite her neck. An armed officer cocks a shotgun. Sid drops the girl and whips round. Sid grabs the gun barrel. The gun goes off and blows Sid's hand off. Sid belts the officer and takes flight. Outside, Barnes pulls out his gun and sprints past the truck.
I know that son of a bitch!
The sobbing beauty clutches her neck as she's helped away. Sid poses in front of the crowd, then somersaults backwards off the balcony. He plummets to the floor head first. His head bounces on the floor. His face wavers and re-solidifies. Sid sits cross-legged and gets up unharmed. Barnes enters the arena. Sid shakes his head. He makes for the fighting cage. Barnes follows him, gun at the ready. Sid vaults the cage perimeter. The fighters stop and walk towards him.
Hungry.
Sid displays his partial fist. The fighters flinch. Barnes tries to get a clear shot but can't. He maneuvers around the cage while Sid plays to the crowd. Barnes points his gun. Sid spots Barnes and lowers his arms. A man blocks Barnes' view. When the man moves, Sid is no longer there. Sid leaps over the cage. Barnes gives chase, somersaulting over a fence. Sid sprints for the exit. Barnes grabs his gun. Sid glares at Barnes. He's clutching his shattered hand. Sid races up the steps to the metro. He shoves a bald-headed, tattooed man out of the way. A train pulls into the station. Sid runs up to it. He staggers and holds his hand. As the train stops, Sid extends his hand. The blue tentacles bond with the glass. They remove a section. Sid's hand repairs itself. Barnes charges up the steps. He sprints up to the train. Commuters stare. He sees the hole in the glass. He creeps further along the train, gun at the ready. Commuters move out of his way. Barnes sprints the length of the train. He scans the carriages. Sid steps onto a carriage behind Barnes.
Hey, Parker! Deja vu! How am I doing?
Oh,
this ain't VR, Parker! Get out of the way!
Flesh and blood!
Flesh and blood! Don't do it, Parker!
Help me!
Don't do it!
The dot from Barnes's gun bounces on Sid's forehead. The hostage is hit in the shoulder. The lifeless woman rolls onto the platform. Barnes chases the train. Sid is sitting on the train with a child on his lap. He waves at Barnes. The child waves too. The train accelerates away. Barnes turns his attention to the woman. She's lying face down on the platform. He stares at her body. The police arrive and point their weapons at Barnes.
Drop it! Freeze!
Oh my God, he shot that woman!
He's a cop! He's a cop! It didn't pull blood!
Carter's arrived. Paramedics carry the woman's body down the metro steps.
They want to take you back to prison until this gets sorted out.
Look, I had a shot. I missed. I did not shoot that woman.
Turn to the cameras and spoke the words.
What?
Hey, Parker! This one's for you!
The killer then proceeded to
Grimes taunted me with that line, this one's for you. Every time he killed another victim, that's what he would say. Parker Barnes, this one's for you. Like he needed me.
Cochran drives up in a squad car.
All right, move it. Hey, Billy, wait, listen. Billy!
Wait a minute.
Billy, listen, what do you want from me?
Somebody
set me up. I didn't kill that one.
Billy,
I can't do anything.
Back inside, you'll never get him.
You better believe me.
No.
You lock me up, you never get him, Billy.
I'm sorry.
Hey, don't lock me up!
Carter examines the woman's wound.
Cochran, I just checked the woman's body. The bullet exited the woman's chest. That means she was shot from the back. Parker couldn't have killed her.
How do you know she was facing him?
Because I saw it happen.
Yeah, well, I got 50 other damn witnesses to say Parker shot her dead.
Yeah, well, how do you explain it?
Well, maybe she turned. Maybe you weren't looking. There was a lot going on.
Sid 6.7 is still out there. You're locking up the one man who may be able to stop him.
In the prison van, he casts his mind back.
This one's for you! Hey, Parker! This one's for you! Hey, Parker! This one's for you!
Mr. Grimes, to the majority of our viewers, you are known as a mass murderer. Now, to some, you're considered a political terrorist.
Barnes, decked out in camouflage gear, enters a dingy building. A woman interviews Grimes.
A hero.
In our so-called democracy,
Barnes opens a door to reveal Grimes giving a speech. Barnes races through a dingy corridor. He follows his family's cries. They're held in a room which contains a bomb.
Can you tell us why you chose an LAPD officer, Parker Barnes, as a target of your vengeance?
Well, first of all, Paula, I did not choose Parker Barnes. He chose me.
Barnes smashes the glass in a door and throttles a guard from behind. His wife and child are trussed up. The countdown is on 45 seconds.
Would you mind saying your signature phrase?
I don't know. Parker, this one's for you.
Barnes breaches a laser beam. The bomb explodes.
What was that?
That was the sound of the end of futility.
Barnes enters and shoots Grimes' guard dead. Barnes is missing an arm. Barnes continues to spray Grimes' bodyguards with bullets. A guard shields Grimes.
Stay down!
Barnes follows Grimes and the men out into the corridor. He carries on firing. The guards topple and fall.
Get off of me!
Grimes is the last man standing. As Grimes charges at him, Barnes opens fire. The reporters run up behind Barnes. He turns and shoots. Barnes is jolted to the present day. The van is stationary, the driver dead. Sid appears.
Hey, buddy. How's the wife and kid?
Sid hops into the back of the van and takes a pew. He smiles.
Still dead, huh? That's reality for you. No saving, no resetting.
Sid glowers and clenches his jaw.
You killed him, Barnesy. Just like that bitch on the train. You got too greedy. You leapt before you looked. You reached your old arm in there and... Boom! Boom! Come on. Just because I'm carrying around the joy of killing your family inside me doesn't mean we can't be friends. Seeing you just brings Grimes oozing to the surface. That's all.
Sid momentarily changes his face shape to Grimes's. He smirks and jumps out. He walks across the roof of the van. He shoots out the lock at the rear and leaps inside.
Say thank you.
He throws Barnes the keys to the shackles.
Oh, come on, Parker. I'm giving you your freedom. Short-lived, though it may be. A little-known fact about the locator implants prison inmates now receive upon release is that they contain a pinhead capsule of neural toxin. The satellites they use to track you can also trigger the release of the toxin with microwaves. After transmission, the implant's host dies within 30 seconds. So let's see. You've just killed two guards while making your escape. How long do you think it's going to take for them to get your termination authorized and implemented? And who should you really be going after, killer? Them or me? You're the only guy on my dance card, Parker.
Sid leaves. Barnes undoes his cuffs and leg irons. He jumps out of the prison wagon and paces in the residential road. Curious people look on. Barnes goes to the cab. The bloodied bodies of the officers sit slumped against the doors. Barnes grabs a gun from an officer's holster. He heads off across the road towards the city.
The best we can do is try to contain him. And we'll double our detail and hope that Sid surfaces somewhere.
Chief Cochran, Parker Barnes just escaped prisoner transport. Both the guards are dead.
I don't believe it. Let's get next.
Wallace gets up from his chair by Cochran's desk and takes a seat beside Dean. Dean pulls her scarf through her fingers and ponders.
The failsafe is still online?
Online and at your disposal, ma'am.
Bigger than any live television event in years. So let your voice out.
Hello?
Madison?
Parker?
I didn't kill those transport guards.
Parker, where are you?
Sid let me go. See, he's interactive. He only enjoys the game when he's playing against his favorite opponent, and that's me.
Tell me where you are. Let me call Chief Cochran.
Listen to me.
Did you know about the poison they put in my head?
Yes.
So when were you going to tell me about it, huh?
I never thought they'd have a reason to use it. Look, Parker, I can't help you unless you tell me where you are.
I'm with my family.
Barnes lets the phone hang.
Parker?
Call in tonight.
Parker!
Madison Hunter, live one.
Cochran here.
Parker's out.
No shit.
He says he didn't kill the transport guards.
Well, it looks like you were right about the woman, too.
Only I'm gonna have trouble convincing Miss Attorney General. She's got every federal SWAT team in the southern section out on Parker Barnes hunt.
Look, there's something else you should know about the new improved LeeTac locator implants.
Mom!
What?
Your keys!
Thanks.
Bye.
I'll be back as soon as I can.
Karen sits on the entrance steps to the house. As Carter drives away, a white van pulls up. The sign on the van reads Hodges Cable Company. Its slim male occupant, dressed in a boiler suit and wearing shades, jumps out. Sid takes off his shades. He smirks. Wallace watches as the officers lock onto the tracer implant in Barnes's brain.
East to Gower. Located at Memorial Park.
There he is. Go for it.
The officer types in Crim Track Termination Code, which releases the toxin. Cochran storms in and shoots up the system.
What are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? Anybody use this chair?
He picks up the chair and smashes the hardware to pieces. He flings the chair at the screen, fracturing the image with one blow. At the memorial park, Barnes gazes at his family's grave. Carter pulls up.
Parker. Oh, I told Chief Cochran about the neurotoxin. He's taking care of it.
Carter and Barnes look at each other. Carter stares down at the simple grave, a slab with Linda and Christine Barnes inscribed on it.
See, Grimes used my Linda and Christine to get to me. Now, Sid, he used my guilt about losing them.
He's attacking your weakness, just like he did in VR.
That's right. But he's not Grimes, see? His appetite is expanding. See, he craves feedback. He needs a larger... audience. I know where he is.
Daryl is watching Star Trek.
I want to live! I want to live!
Authorities still refuse to comment on rumors that a former LAPD officer now serving time for homicide has been released from prison to help with the manhunt.
Oh, they must really be worried they let out in Nate Barnes.
The cops on the news a few years back, right?
You got the wrong guy.
He scared you, didn't he? And if you get scared, you might make a mistake, do something foolish.
Come on, man, I know it's you!
Meanwhile, L.A. County residents are flocking to gun shops and sporting goods stores throughout the area. And are running...
Where would you go?
The political sensitivity of the immigration issue and the possibility of closing the American borders seems certain to guarantee a television audience of unprecedented size.
The L.A. skyline at night. Demonstrators crowd outside an office block which houses a TV station.
It's not to have their markets and their culture overrun by refugees from the third world, to whom even poverty here in paradise would be preferable to the living hell they created in their own worlds.
As you speak, I'm reminded of another group of immigrants, the Puritans. Let us speak with an open mind. If you close...
A TV crew member is seated lifelessly at his desk. He has blood running from his nose. A second is also dead. Sid is adjusting dials and switches. He yanks a cable out.
Hey, what's going on in there? Just lost New York.
Sid stands at the window separating the crew from the back office.
You guys asleep?
He sticks a badge, Sid 6.7, on his boiler suit. A skull and crossbones is on screen.
Ladies and gentlemen, my fellow Americans.
The hell?
Welcome!
What the hell's happening out there?
No!
To Death TV.
The skull supplants the crossbones. A chart shows the number of online viewers multiplying rapidly. Barnes and Carter arrive at the TV station. Demonstrators are still protesting. Barnes and Carter sneak through the crowds.
We're still up there!
Please, move back now!
Get back!
Go, go!
This way, this
is really
terrible!
Like that,
here,
I've been able to deliver. All you have to do, sweet viewers, is ask. So, people, what do you want? Strangulation? Mutilation? Cannibalism? Gunshots? Stabbings? I'll slice, I'll dice, I'll julienne. What about hanging? By the testicles. But before we begin, a word to the parents of our younger viewers.
The following program will contain scenes of violence that will not be suitable for small children.
The rest of you won't be able to take your eyes off the screen.
Sid mugs on multiple screens.
Don't fucking move.
And now, on with the show.
A Death TV special segment.
You know what floor the studio's on?
38th floor.
Our first little contestant comes to us from our very own City of Angels. At only 9 years of age,
Carol
Kurgan, and lover of macaroni and cheese, daughter of renowned criminal psychologist Madison Carter. Maddie, of course, is one of the friends of the show.
Carter sobs and clutches Barnes. Her daughter is being held captive.
It's my little girl.
And I guarantee you, it'll be more than one.
God is my witness. I'm going to find your daughter. I promise you that. But I need your help.
This little girl.
You got to find out who's in charge of the building. Get him to turn off all the phone lines. He's gonna cut off all the phone lines. Now, can you do that? Can you do that?
Go, go, let's move it! Move it inside, go!
A squad of heavily armed riot officers piles into the building.
This little beauty's got 2 whole hours until she gets blown into little beauty bits.
Madison.
We'll have glorious hours.
I'll find your daughter for you.
Help me!
And building excitement. Finally coming to the glorious climax.
Here's Barnes, there. There!
Where?
There!
Barnes runs along the outside of the glass building. He splashes through a fountain. The officers open fire and shatter the panes of glass. Barnes runs on and reaches the safety of a stone pillar.
Go, go, go!
The armed officers follow. Barnes darts forward and smashes through a pane of glass into a reception. The officers shower him with a hail of bullets. Barnes leaps over a desk into a corridor. The armed officers are in hot pursuit. Barnes sprints the length of the corridor and forces his way into an elevator.
Shit!
So, while we wait and watch the demise of young Karen Carter, let's have a talk with our studio audience.
You're the supervisor, right?
Yeah.
You can do it.
I don't know if I can, okay?
Now, I need you to cut every phone line that leads into this building.
Imagine. If you can, just for a moment, that she is your daughter. A child you have given birth to.
Carter spots Daryl, who is admiring Sid's TV performance. She fumbles in her handbag and pulls out her gun. Daryl turns and walks straight into Carter's gun barrel. She cocks the gun.
Oh my.
Where's my daughter?
I don't know. And what will you do now? Shoot me?
Folks at home? Ed? Folks at home. Enjoying the show, Ed?
Ed nods. A gun is stuck in his jaw.
At moments like this, I bet you're thinking, where's God?
Barnes darts along a corridor.
I have that same dilemma. Oh, look at that response, Ed. I love you. What I am is not my fault. It's not even my choice. I came to be because of what you are. They love you so much they want you dead. Ed. Face it, folks. To kill is in your nature.
The phone line goes dead. Sid throws Ed away.
What the hell happened to the phone lines? Where's my audience? Where's my audience? Parker!
Barnes sprays Sid with bullets. Sid staggers and falls backwards away from the stage. He jumps up through the roof. Barnes chases Sid. Sid enters the ventilation system. He rushes up a series of metal steps. Barnes is hot on his heels. Sid sees him and shoots. Barnes returns fire. Barnes dashes up the stairs. Sid runs, then turns and shoots. They continue to exchange shots. Barnes runs out of ammunition and stops. A helicopter hovers into view through the glass.
Put down the weapon or we will open fire.
The helicopter circles the building. Barnes hides against the framework. The helicopter opens fire on the spot where Barnes is hiding. Barnes spies Sid sprinting around the edge of the building. He shoots in rapid succession. The helicopter responds by opening fire on Barnes.
Go! Chief, call him off.
Want that goddamn helicopter down here right now.
Yes, sir.
The helicopter stops shooting and whirs away from the building. Barnes takes pot shots at Sid. Sid totters and half falls. Barnes continues to pepper him with bullets. Sid tries to run. Barnes fills him with more lead. Sid sways and stops. Blue fluid drips from his mouth.
Fuck you, Parker. I am made of everything. I am the future. And you're losing your sense of humor.
Barnes closes in.
Come on!
Sid climbs onto a circular vent.
Come on, Parker. Come on!
Barnes tries to scrabble onto the vent using a steel grid. Sid slams his boot down on Barnes' hand. Barnes grabs Sid's foot. He hurls Sid to the floor and clambers up. Barnes and Sid circle each other.
Where's the girl?
It's not gonna be the same this time, Parker. She's not your daughter.
Barnes aims a punch at Sid. Sid repels it and kicks him in the side. Sid punches him in the midriff and knees him in the face. Barnes strides towards Sid, who leaps from vent to vent. Barnes springs onto the final vent and on top of Sid. Barnes pins Sid to the vent.
Where's the girl? Where's the girl?
Sid smacks Barnes repeatedly in the stomach until Barnes falls over. Barnes gets to his knees. Sid kicks him in the midriff. Barnes curls up in a ball. Sid vaults off the vent onto a steel railing. He climbs over the railing and onto a moving platform.
Jump, Parker! Come and get the little girl, Parker! Come and get the little girl!
Barnes leaps as high as he can. He grasps the rail.
Oh, come on, you can make it! Come on! Come on, yeah! Attaboy! You can do it! Come on, Parker!
Yeah. Sid kicks Barnes in the stomach. Barnes responds by punching Sid in the face. Barnes grabs Sid around the neck. Sid twists free and rams Barnes against the stop button. The platform stops.
Okay, Parker. This one's for me!
Sid goes to punch a swaying Barnes. Barnes undoes a cable attached to the mechanism. The two men swing out on a pulley. They dangle in midair. Barnes swings them into a glass pane. They smash through. Barnes lets go of Sid, who is propelled through the air and crashes through a glass vent into a dumpster. Barnes lands on a walkway. Barnes shuffles to the ledge and peers down at Sid, who is without his limbs and covered in shards of glass. Barnes drags himself over the ledge and lowers himself to the floor. Sid is impaled on the glass. Shards spear his body and pierce his neck. Sid tries to move. Barnes leans to him.
Where's the girl?
Sid grabs Barnes' neck with his regenerated arm.
Blow me, Parker!
He forces Barnes towards the shards of glass. Blue tentacles wriggle forward out of Sid's missing arm and start sucking up the glass. Tentacles reach out from his missing legs and attach themselves to the glass. Sid slowly transforms into a whole being. Barnes wrenches free of Sid's grip. He forces his fist into the back of Sid's head. He tears out the crystal. Sid's head sags. The tentacles fall limply away.
Parker!
Carter's holding Daryl at gunpoint.
So, Mr. Barnes, by destroying Sid, you've effectively lost any chance you had of finding the little girl.
No!
Barnes observes the throbbing crystal in his blue-stained hand. Barnes relives the moment when he jumps onto the steel railings.
Hey! You made it! Come on, Parker! Come on! Come on! You can make it! Oh!
He advances towards Sid, who kicks him. Barnes responds by hitting Sid in the face. Barnes grabs Sid around the neck. Sid twists free and rams Barnes against the stop button. The platform stops. Barnes goes to grab the cable, but Sid kicks his arm away. Sid lifts Barnes above his head.
Hey, Parker! This one's for me.
Sid flings Barnes off the side of the building. A flailing Barnes drops to the floor. Blood spatters over the sidewalk. Sid turns his attention to Carter. She points her gun at Sid.
Hey, Maddie. You just missed Parker.
Where is she?
Sid knocks the gun away.
You can't kill me, Maddie.
Where is she?
She's waiting, Mommy.
The blood pool surges back into Barnes's brain. Barnes stands up and runs away. His image is displayed on the screen. Cochrane and Daryl look on.
Show me Madison.
In the background, Barnes and Carter are strapped into the brain scanners.
No. Tell me where my daughter is.
You see? Sid assumes he's still in the real world.
Oh, go on, Maddie. Forget the kid.
Where is she?
You really want to know?
Yes.
You really, really want to know?
Yeah.
Just click your heels 3 times.
Sid knocks on the vent next to Carter.
Oh, Karen! Mommy's here!
She's here?
Yes, she is.
She's been right here all along.
Uh-huh.
Sid's face drops as he sees Barnes.
You're dead.
And you're back in the box.
This is VR.
That's right.
Get us out of here, Billy.
Get him out now.
Madison first. You'll have to help me lift her out.
Gerald! They couldn't have done this without you, Gerald.
Come on, open
it. I'll go lower Barnes.
Gerald! I'm back in the fucking box!
Smart. That's my boy.
Any time now, Billy.
Daryl! 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 Help me, Daryl. Back in the box, Daryl. Help me, Daryl. Daryl!
Daryl operates the scanner seat so it swings and hits Cochran, flooring him and sending the gun flying. He picks up a hammer and bludgeons Cochran to death.
Billy!
No!
An incensed Sid scrambles onto a vent.
You're in my world now!
Sid bends the shape of the virtual world so that Barnes is catapulted off the office block roof. Barnes's neural cells overload. Carter wakes up and struggles to her feet. She sees Daryl sit in front of the image of Barnes falling through cyberspace. She runs to the computer and tries to disconnect the scanner. Barnes is vibrating in the neural scanner as he falls through layer upon layer of cyberspace. Daryl charges at Carter with the hammer. She dodges his blow. She grabs Cochran's gun and fires. Daryl slams against the computer and slumps to the floor. In the virtual world, images of Sid swallow Barnes whole. Carter pulls the scanner off Barnes. Barnes sees Cochran lying in a pool of his own blood.
Come on!
What the hell is going on here?
I don't know what the two of you think you're doing, but you will not!
Barnes punches Wallace hard in the mouth. Wallace collapses. Dean stares at Barnes. On the screen, Sid's demented head snarls red with fury. Barnes disconnects Sid's crystal.
Let's go get your little girl.
A helicopter comes in to land on an office block roof.
All right, I'm just dead.
An armed officer helps Barnes and Carter out. Carter runs to the vent and reaches to open it.
Karen!
No!
This booby trapped.
So the bomb squad is 5 minutes away.
Yeah, well, we don't have 5 minutes.
Barnes clambers up the side of the vent.
Karen!
Inside, Karen struggles and tries to call out through the gag. He spies Karen through the propeller.
Listen, I'm gonna get you out of here, okay?
He pulls up a grid. He studies the layout of the laser beams. There are 3 separate crossing beams. Barnes punches his metal arm through the propeller. The blade cuts into his arm, and the propeller stops rotating.
Hang on, sweetheart, I'm coming.
Just stay right where you are.
Barnes slowly lowers himself into the vent. He drops to the floor next to Karen.
All right, it's all right, sweetheart. We're going to get you out of here.
You're going to get me out of here?
Yes, I'm going to get you out.
Be careful, Parker.
Hi, Mom. Hurry.
Okay, wait. Don't move.
A red wire stretches away from where Karen is sitting.
Hello, Parker. That can only be you. What should now be completely clear is that anything you can think of, I've already thought of. And I thought of it first. So I made this little recording just for you, in case you got clever.
All right, let me move your hands back. Just stay right where you are. Don't move. He's got you sitting on a pressure plate. Now, if you stand up, it's gonna be very bad, okay?
Be still, honey. Don't move.
Barnes strides over the first laser beam.
It's okay, baby. Stop. Hang in there.
He lifts himself over the second.
Don't move, honey.
Mom, get me out of here.
We will, baby. Just hang on. Everything will be okay, Karen. Just stay still.
Mom. Honey.
Hold on, baby.
Just talk to Mommy.
Mama. I'm right here, sweetie.
Barnes examines the bomb.
Try to get into the main operating system and reset the internal clock.
Barnes tries pressing a few keys. Sid's face flashes up.
I thought of that one, too. Better try again.
No. Oh, God.
Faster.
Sid speeds the countdown up.
Hang on, baby. Everything's gonna be okay. I love you here.
Barnes rips out a wire from his metal arm. He looks at three circular sockets. As the clock zips towards zero, Barnes settles for the middle socket. The sensor lights up, the countdown continues.
I thought of that one too. Try again. Faster. Faster. Faster.
Barnes recalls when his wife and daughter died.
It's not working.
Oh, God.
The countdown accelerates to 4 seconds, then slows and snaps back to 43 seconds.
I thought of that one, too. I thought of that one, too.
It's working.
What?
I thought of that one, too.
It's working.
It's working. We're okay?
Okay.
We're okay?
Oh, my God.
Barnes opens the vent door.
Baby. Oh, my God.
Carter hugs Karen close. Barnes looks on, his face lights up.
Thank you.
Barnes grins. He pats Carter's arm as he walks on by. Barnes climbs up to the roof. He strolls up to the edge and stares out at the glittering city. He removes the crystal module from his pocket and is about to fling it, but he stops and inspects it. He launches it into space. It flies through the air and smashes on the road. A car runs over the crystal. Barnes strides away. ITFC audio description.
Up upon this island, looking at the street lights, all spread out like a banquet. Why is this room so silent? Only when I'm moving, no direction chosen, rolling over emotion. Guess I'm your party man. With a party man, I'm your party man. With a party man, with a party man, I'm your party man. So then, up upon this high wall, looking at the street lights, all spread out like a banquet. Why is this room so silent? Only when I'm moving, no direction